The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
And it's Tuesday, doing lots of things here moments before we go live, trying to juggle a number of plates in the air. A man who has mastered that long ago is Major George Filer. George is standing by, sitting by, hopefully, in comfortable Medford, New Jersey, living on the edge of Lake Filer, and is going to tell us, regale us in the next hour, some interesting things about Filer's Files, the world's premier email, UFO, ET, and historical newsletter. So let's find out what's going on. If you want to look in headlines, you'll find George's most recent three editions of Filer's Files. We're going to take a look at those and see what's up. How are you, George?
I'm fine. It's a wonderful day.
Every day is a wonderful day. Every day is a wonderful day. Now, unless you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, then you've got problems. Good Lord. I don't know. We're in trouble. Did you see how, I mean, the information that came out about this fellow named Khan, who lost a son in war, tragically. But
yes.
The point is, who is this Khan? He's a con. He worked for an amazingly sketchy law firm under contract with the Saudi government. They had to fill out a foreign agent representative application with the U.S. State Department, and their job was to delay and obfuscate 9/11 information. This guy's been alleged and accused of selling U.S. citizenships, all kinds of illegal immigrant documentation. He's an activist Islamist. There's no question about it. None. And they prayed the guy out there on the stage like he's some a tragically innocent human being who has nothing going politically or geopolitically that should raise any questions. Well, we have found a ton of stuff on the guy. It's very likely that he's involved with the CIA. I can't prove it, but his credentials, I mean, how does a guy come from Pakistan, George, with a couple of kids, maybe three, and all of a sudden find himself in the best law school, getting his law degree, he's in the bar, and then he's put with a premier law firm. I mean, come on, this is CIA stuff. Has to be. So it's all manipulated. Everything is manipulated. Nothing is as it seems. You can't trust anyone. As they say, trust no one. And I'm speaking in the largest possible sense of that expression, in a general brushstroke. But nothing is as it is presented to us. And when you have All the media, 96% of the media in this country, controlled by six corporations that are all globalist in their orientation. Does anyone honestly think that they can become informed by watching the mainstream media? No chance.
Right. I find you do better on BBC and what is this, the New American?
Well, BBC is highly suspect in many ways.
Yeah. Well,
very
I know.
Much. Yeah.
Nobody's really that strongly for Trump at this point, so it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Well, the election's going to be rigged. That's a given. They rigged it, took it away from Bernie Sanders. We know that now through open mics. Bernie even admitting it, his wife admitting it, and the emails made it quite clear. They were doing everything they could in every way to steal the primaries. They're still counting in California. He'll win California, but it's too late now. Anyway.
All right, well, I think... I sometimes make predictions as an intelligence officer. For example, I predicted the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. And,
that's right. You told me that once. Yeah, that was...
In any case, I'm getting feelings that serious terrorist actions are going to occur. I don't know if it helps any either party, but I think they're up to no good as well, so...
Do you know about what Dick Allgaier and Daz Smith, the remote viewers, found for August when they remote viewed in July for the biggest news story in August? Not a particular event, just the biggest news story. That was the task. They had a blind number, a random number, and they both came up, and there was a third viewer. But you can see this if you look on the left-hand side of my homepage. Look in there, and there's an eye looking at you. It's a color box full of eyes. And the first story in there says, July remote viewing of August. U.S. city blasted? ? Click here. Watch the video. Both Dick Allgaier, all three viewers, and Daz Smith, with no knowledge of what either one was doing, no knowledge of anything. They were given a random number. It meant nothing.
Right.
And they remote viewed that number. You know how it works.
And right, Angus Swan was a good friend of mine.
There you are. Well, they went to the whiteboard and they both began drawing, as you will see. And Dick Allgaier and Daz Smith both came up with, clearly, a massive explosion in a major U.S. city. Whether that's a meteorite, an asteroid, whether it's a suitcase nuke, or some other kind of nuke, we don't know. But I'm telling you, these guys are not to be trifled with, and it doesn't mean August exactly, because remote viewing, the future, doesn't adhere to our definition of a time window. It could be not 4 weeks, it could be 6 weeks away. But they both saw, and it is eerie to watch. You've got to watch this video. It is eerie to watch. And they've been totally right about what's happened in May, June, and July. So they're both seeing and remote viewing a massive explosion in a major U.S. city. Buildings knocked down, just rubble everywhere, dead people, lots of stuff. So maybe you're
sure
right.
I'm not sure it's the United States, but in any case, I have a feeling that something bad's going to happen. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, you know.
Absolutely. It may be a European city. You may be right.
September, over the summer here, August and September, could be very serious.
Yeah, somebody suggested, I think it was Dick Allgaier, that after they had compared videos between the three viewers, and they had a feeling that it might be New Jersey.
Well, I hope not.
Well, I hope not, too, but Medford is not a big city.
No, no. But, of course, you can move a ship into a harbor or something and create...
It's so easy, George. It's so easy. Container on a ship. Easy. A truck with a container coming up from New Orleans, driving up, park the truck, No shortage of suicide bombers that would press the switch. And we know now that there is a new kind of nuclear weapon. Gordon Duff, who will be on next hour, broke that story on Veterans Today and on this program. And it has to do with spent fuel rods from nuclear power plants being ignited with deuterium and lithium. Those are the igniters. And you get a spent fuel rod, you cut it up, and that will go fission, and it will explode. Big, big, big time. So, not a dirty bomb. This is a blast.
Right.
Well, your background in intelligence, when you say what you said, I pay very close attention.
Well, there is intelligence, you know, trying to pick up these kind of things and find out if anybody's buying large amounts of, we'll say, TNT or that kind of thing. In other words, Homeland Security is doing their job, but, you know, it's difficult to cover everything.
It's impossible to cover everything. Just simple. It just you can't do it. You do your best, and that's what we hope they're doing. I do believe that there are interested people who are aware of the video I alluded to that you can see if you look on the left-hand side, left column, remote viewing the future. It's in green, and you'll see a very colorful box with a green eye looking at you. First click here is what you want to look at. Sit down, spend 20, 25 minutes, and prepare to be amazed. And again, I won't lock this into the month of August. It could be in September, because the future is very tough to dial in terms of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But they've been right all along since May, so we'll see.
Well, I hope they're wrong, but that you never know.
We're overdue. We're overdue for this.
I've had these bad feelings, too, so something's going on. But, and I think it's up. Well, they're trying to do it, so it's just a matter of can they be successful.
It is. Gordon Duff suggested that there are several of these. We'll call them a homemade nuke. Several of them in the U.S. now. That was his guess. We'll see. I'll talk to him next hour.
All right. Well, we have ways of finding some of those.
Oh, I know. I know about the nest teams and so forth.
But you can't cover every place, obviously.
Oh, no, and if something is shielded with enough lead, you're not going to see anything.
Right.
So, don't know. Time will tell, and we'll know soon enough.
Well, maybe the aliens will protect us. We've got some people claiming that they are looking out for us. I don't know.
Well, they're not doing a very good job so far. I'm not seeing anything encouraging. And if they are, they better ramp up their energy and their efforts real fast. We're headed toward some bad, bad, bad times.
They're allegedly stopping some meteorites, that kind of thing, who are on the outside.
Well, what Dick saw in his remote viewing session, an incredibly fast overhead object of some kind coming in and hitting a city. And that could be a meteorite. You know, we don't even see these things sometimes until they're already past the Earth. We're not able to track them all, as I think you know. And it wouldn't take anything much bigger than a Volkswagen hitting at 18,000 miles an hour in any city to cause a major explosion, massive explosion.
Right.
So.
Well, they hit New York. Maybe they're after Washington. That's the next logical place.
I don't know. These are big buildings, big city, buildings very close together. When you look at the video, you'll understand. So.
Right.
All right. Well, what's going on in your world? Yeah. Well, please do, and let me know what your thoughts are. It's very, very interesting. So if you look in the headlines at Rents, look down in the second full news block, you'll see Filer's Files issue number 28, number 30, and number 31. 29 is missing. Don't know what that means.
It was sent out. I don't know what happened. I I can resend it to you.
Well,
31 had kind of an interesting article about Linus Pauling. I don't know if you remember him, but he was a great...
Oh, yeah, I do. Dr. Vitamin C.
Right, that gave us the world, you might say, the therapy, using vitamin C for colds and helping your working and even pneumonia and all these kind of things. That any kind of disease, large amounts of vitamin C apparently is helpful.
Sure.
And one interesting thing is that I was not aware of previously, but he was also a very strong UFO researcher.
I had no idea.
And that he apparently did a lot of work with that. And he worked closely with Patel in Columbus, Ohio, which is right near Wright-Patterson. And when Wright-Patterson had, alleged crashed UFOs come in there with this kind of material that you could fold it up in your hand and then it would spring back to the same area that I was in previously.
Yeah.
This metal that's very interesting. Apparently that was designed so that if a satellite or small meteorite hit the UFO as it went through space, it would absorb the meteorite without destroying the craft. In other words, it would push the metal in, it would absorb it, and then you might say push the metal back into the previous position that it was in.
Mm-hmm.
That the metal had a memory, so to speak. And in any case, when a UFO was apparently found out west, Patel was given the exercise of trying to figure out what kind of metal this was.
Right.
And they happened to be that the close friend of Linus Pauling was Clyde Williams, who was the executive director of Patel Memorial Institute. In any case, he called in Linus to come up with the new metal that could be had this memory. They could change its shape and then go back to the original shape. And Linus worked on these metal alloys that had the ability to morph or had this memory ability, which I thought was kind of interesting. Consequently, he became a great UFO researcher and had dozens of books and was actually awarded 2 Nobel Prizes for chemistry. And he was also interested in UFOs, which I think is significant.
Wow.
Because we're trying to get scientists, more interested in the subject because we need some of their help. Certainly in MUFON. And
mm-hmm.
We have about 100 scientists so far in MUFON that are, you might say, working behind the scenes. But, frankly, we need that ability. He claimed that nearly all disease could be traced to nutritional deficiency.
I'm right on board with that, believe me.
And that... a lot of people have all kind of illnesses and everything, and what they really need is vitamins and minerals and that kind of thing.
What they really need also, George, and just for openers, is to stop poisoning their bodies with processed food, chemicals, dairy, and animal flesh. That's the truth. It sounds a little hokey to some, and why would they serve us all these hamburgers and hot dogs and bacon and beef and roasts and ham and if it wasn't good for us? It's not good for us, and they do it because they make money with it. They don't care about us. So first you clean your body, then you make sure you have a good baseline supplement. The bio superfood I have, that combination of the 4 most potent algaes on the planet, has something like 30,000 different nutrients in it, vitamins, minerals, and a million other things. That is a wonderful, wonderful product. So take a look at that, BioSuperfood. You can find a banner on the homepage. I don't make anything on this directly, but I just want you to know that. Clean your diet. Begin to introduce proper food. and then supplement as needed. A good nutritionist in a health food store can save your life.
One interesting thing is, I don't know why, but a lot of veterinarians are interested in UFOs, and they've come to my house and explained that, you know, various animals, from dogs to cats to cows to horses or whatever, have sicknesses, you know, illnesses of various types, and that's the first thing they do is check for the various vitamin deficiencies and minerals and so on.
And that for... Most of the pets, George, I'll get out of the way, are eating garbage pet food. Most pet food is garbage, and it will shorten the life of your pet. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I'm just saying that they're saying that for a few cents, they've, you know, in vitamins, so to speak, in minerals, it's usually not very expensive. They feed it to the animals, and they usually get well, and that the whole medical field, they feel is, you know, there are some doctors, of course, that do vitamins and minerals, but mostly want to treat you with drugs, which often do more harm than good, and that they feel that they get excellent results with us by treating these vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So I think people should at least look into that, particularly if they're not feeling too well.
I agree. You can reverse major disease simply by stopping the poisoning and the toxification of your body. Give your body a chance, build your immune system, and you can throw off almost anything.
Yes. Well, we've talked several times on your show with William Tompkins, and I had each week I try to put a little bit in the files about Bill Tompkins, and he had an amazing ability to look at a ship as it went by and reproduce it in miniature, and because of that the Navy got interested in him because of this capability. And as World War II came along, he went to work for them and stayed in this situation where he's now writing books called Selected by Extraterrestrials, that he's kept up with the whole thing through the last, 40, 50 years. And I think people should be at least be aware of him and what he's doing and what he's saying. But it's kind of fascinating that he feels that some of the Nordics are here, that he's worked with some of them. They helped him. He's worked for NASA. They helped him and NASA essentially go to the moon. He has an amazing amount of information that he's providing weekly. I don't know when you plan on having him on again, but he's certainly worth listening to.
Who, Bill? Bill, yeah. Tompkins? Oh, right. as soon as I can make the time available. Yeah, it'll be this month. Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Hold on, George. I got to pause just for a second. Hold your thought, and we'll come right back. Okay, and back with George. Okay, George, if you have your thought, let's get back and plug it in.
Well, I happened to get a message from Dr. Bob Wood. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
that
I got it.
Secret message, MJ-12, apparently has been downgraded. But in any case, it's kind of interesting. I can see the actual top secret message on my website, but it essentially indicates that President Kennedy was trying to get information about UFOs, and it looked like they weren't giving him much, and he wanted more. And although there's no date on this object, on this message, it looks like that shortly thereafter he was assassinated. If there's any connection we can only speculate, but it was kind of interesting, that talks about Project Blue Book and Majestic 12 and so on, and that it certainly indicates that the government is well aware of UFOs, that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know if you had anything that you particularly wanted to talk about.
No, just the usual. It's summertime, sightings up, down. We've got the files to look at. Do you have any great pictures in the three issues I have posted, 28, 30, and 31?
I don't know if there's great ones. The UFOs affect the atmosphere around them. Consequently, when a picture is going to be taken, it's often, you know, distorted in some way.
You're suspecting that there is a consciousness there that in many cases is aware that one of us primitive life forms is going to try to snap a photo?
Could be. One interesting thing is that other countries are releasing information, like Brazil. There's an article here about sighting in 1986 in Brazil, where there's about 20 UFOs were sighted by numerous aircraft and ground radar, and they sent out, Brazil sent out planes to intercept. Now, and this happens fairly often. For example, actually, Canadian F-18s were launched in May to intercept a UFO over Lake Superior, which again is happens from the information we're getting about 100 times a year, at least in the United States. But other countries are having that occur on a regular basis. Then I had contacted Colonel William Coleman, going to the file number 28, and he's a retired Air Force bomber pilot, but he was also the public information officer for Project Blue Book, and he was the Air Force's chief public relations officer in the 70s. So if any you know, questions came in about UFOs or anything, he was the guy to handle it. And I don't know if, but he was on the Merv Griffin Show a number of times, and they put together a UFO show, and he had worked on that show. But he personally had chased UFOs himself. He was cruising about 10,000 feet when he spotted a target at about 25,000 feet, about 7 miles from him, and he's flying a B-25, and he goes after it. And apparently he had decided to play some games with him and came around him, you know, flew in front of him and on the side of his craft and so on. And so as he got closer, he got closer than a mile to it. He's flying over 345 miles an hour. And he closed within an eighth of a mile. And this thing kept on going lower and lower. This is over Georgia, by the way. And I don't know if you're familiar with Georgia, but it has this red soil.
Mm-hmm.
And the disc, he's chasing this disc that's not, you know, a few hundred feet in front of him. And the disc is right on the deck, right above the soil, shooting up these clouds of red soil all over his aircraft.
Wow. That's, and then, that's down and dirty, as they say.
Right. And, well, he was a big believer in UFOs, and he got permission, interestingly enough, to write a book about it, and sent a copy to Japan, and it was published in Japan, and at the last minute they wouldn't let him publish the same book here in the United States. But he was quite open about the fact that, you know, UFOs exist, and he chased them, you know, seen them himself. And I run into people all the time. As a matter of fact, I met an old friend of mine that used to brief way back when, a four-star general, and I said, "General, can you tell me about UFOs?" He says, "That's a highly classified subject. I can't talk about that." Wow. I'm just saying that although Bill claims that some admirals are giving him permission to talk about the subject and tell people about what's going on in the field, that according to him, we have spaceships that are trying to fight off some of the, they call them the evil aliens. But and on the other hand, most of the aliens seem to be helping out. So that's a story that continues.
Mm-hmm. I don't honestly see any evidence of any extraterrestrial or off-planet interference to the good here on the planet. In point of fact, I would suggest that there is a lot of evidence to suggest that if there is any relationship between humankind and ET, it's not working to our benefit at this point. Things are getting worse here, faster and faster. So I don't, maybe the wrong kind are here. I don't know how it works. I can only guess and speculate like you.
Yeah, one interesting thing is that President Reagan was one of the presidents that probably talked the most about UFOs and the fact that there's aliens out there, and he even mentioned it in the United Nations. It's interesting that we hear very little about it.
Right.
I want to also check about Clark McClellan. Are you going to have him on?
Okay. The deal with Clark, Harry Cooper and I have been working on this. Harry lives about an hour away. Harry went to Clark's residence and knocked on the door. No answer. He then wisely used his cell phone and called Clark. I gave him Clark's number. And he could hear the answer machine going off in the background, and he left a message. Nothing came of it. So from that point, during that afternoon, he then went over to the neighbors and said, have you seen Clark? And apparently the neighbor said, no, I haven't seen Clark, and the nurse no longer comes around to change his bandages. So then he went to the trailer park director and found out at least that Clark, and I guess I'm speaking out of school here, but he did finally have to go in and have the leg removed. He would have died if he hadn't. Gangrene. So
right.
That's good. And I do believe he is with his son, he's got several sons, I believe. Or his fiance or his former fiance, and I think he's recuperating. And if you're listening, Clark, we really care, and I've been sending messages for a long time, and when you feel like it, please let me know and we'll get you back on the air here. There's a lot of interest and a lot of concern about you, and I hope you're on the mend. So that's the story, George.
Yeah, people don't know he worked for NASA for
decades, yeah.
Decades and has a lot of inside information. Well, it's quite familiar with the UFOs.
You can look on the right-hand side column and the features and scroll down, and below Bill Tompkins you'll find Clark McClellan, and I've posted the last 10 or 12 of his programs that he did here, and some are very compelling. They're kind of heartbreaking because he's in such agony, but he was there. We talked about Kecksburg. We talked about the Diglacka, Dr. Kurt Debus, the German scientist who ran NASA for 12 years. He was NASA from 1961 to 1973. Extraordinary stories about the Germans who ran the American space program. They were the American space program. And I did post recently, thanks to Frank Chile, a number of photographs of Dr. Debus and John Kennedy together. Color pictures, remarkable pictures. They're up there in that area as well. Just look for Bill Tompkins and Clark McClellan, and there's just a treasury of information there.
One thing we've been talking to Coast Guard people lately, and they say that that they see the UFOs coming in and out of the water off the coast of New Jersey and Delaware and so on, that they're out there and people are seeing them. And well, we also get reports. We had one fellow who was a archaeological engineer. In any case, he was like 50 feet from the shore, you know, on the beach, out sunning, and one came out of the water. And it was roughly a sphere. But the interesting thing that he said is that, you know how when something is in the water for an extended period of time, it gets a kind of rust look to it?
Sure.
Well, in any case, it was all full of rust, like it had been under there for an extended period of time. And so that may, in fact, be, you might say, a base or where they hide. Or
well, all I can say is why not? If they can fly through space, they can fly through the atmosphere, they can certainly fly through the water, and we've had enough stories about that over the years. And if you can fly through the water, you can go under the water and construct all manner of underground, underwater facilities, huge ones.
I used to teach ROTC, and I had a lot of students that would go out in the military. One fellow went to the submarines, and he claimed that, and he used to operate some of this underwater tracking equipment. He said he didn't know if it's real, but the tracking equipment was telling him that these objects were moving at 200 knots, 150 to 200 knots, and were huge, you know, the size of an aircraft carrier or bigger,
right,
moving through the oceans. So there's a whole area there that obviously we can't see much about. Isn't revealed too much by the Navy, but maybe they're going to start revealing more about it. That now, I did not know a commander who had seen them both in the air and had a Commander Bethune was flying the Atlantic.
Right.
And he looked down, you know, and it's night, and he's in the, not in the middle of the Atlantic, but a couple hundred miles off the Newfoundland. Well, in any case, here it looks like a city's down there. And it's like, what the heck is that? The city can't be here, you know, we're 200 miles from the coastline. Well, in any case, the city came up and flew next to his aircraft. Well, the interesting part of it was that his aircraft had a complete load of, you know, passengers on it, mostly military. They had just come from Iceland. And he got out of his seat and went back while the other crew flew the airplane, and he's talking to a psychiatrist. He said to the psychiatrist, "You see that huge craft out there? You know, isn't that amazing? This craft is flying formation with us. It must be 10 times bigger than our aircraft." The psychiatrist said, "I don't see anything." That certain people just could not grasp or decide to believe in it, even what was there that they could see with their own eyes.
I've no doubt that so many things are going on. I mean, if you listen to the William Tompkins programs or any of the others that we've been able to do, just extraordinary things that are being withheld from us because we don't have the right to know. That's what the controllers think. Now, you've dealt with this directly and indirectly for a long time. Do you see them giving up on this stupid cover-up anytime soon, George? I mean, the disclosure, the amount of disclosure is becoming embarrassing. It's huge. But they still adhere to their same dumb program of no comment or some flimsy excuse.
Well, Hillary said if she was elected, she was going to...
That's a lie. Don't believe it. Podesta, well, Podesta is a hustler. That's just to try and pick up a few cheap votes, easy votes. They're not going to do it. They won't give her anything unless they want to.
Well, the story is that they chewed her out for saying that. I don't know how factual.
I wouldn't be surprised. She's not going to get the information. And why put pressure on the government and make some statement like that? I think you're correct. Wouldn't be surprised at all. She's not going to get anything. Bill tried. He didn't get anything. Now, Nixon knew. We know that. Nixon and Jackie Gleason. Jimmy Carter certainly had an idea. I don't know if they ever briefed him or not, but he had a very vivid sighting.
Right.
We just don't know.
And Reagan, of course, had his idea.
Reagan knew. Reagan chased them in his chauffeur-driven limousine on the way over to dinner with Lucille Ball. He and Nancy saw one, and he told the driver, he said, follow that. And they went, Jane, they were late to dinner.
Right. We have a lot of interesting cases where, you know, the fellow will call us and explain that he's had a sighting. This particular case in 29, I guess the one you don't have, but the Gosport fisherman in the UK is right next to what some of the most important British Navy and ships, and roughly equivalent to the CIA and so on. In any case, he had seen them quite often, and actually had been stationed in Akrotiri, Crete, and that they had come in and flown over there. And in Akrotiri, it's a listening post to...
It's on East Cyprus.
Right, to listen to what's going on in the Middle East and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And in any case, he worked there, and some of these craft came over and hovered over. You know, I said the listening post is to show that they were there and so on. And, you know, while I've been to 62 countries and talked to a lot of people all over the world about UFOs, people don't realize that they're seen virtually everywhere. And most countries are more willing to report them as factual than the United States.
Well, Argentina, Mexico, even Brazil, absolutely.
And
Chile.
Well, they might call them OVNIs or you know, different names, but they'll talk about them. As a matter of fact, I talked to a Russian colonel right after the Soviet Union, you know, broke apart from Russia, or, you know, became Russia because the Soviet Union kind of dissolved. They lost a lot of their land and so on. But he claimed that he felt the reason that the Soviet Union dissolved was because of the UFOs attacking some of their radar sites and so on. That it was just, you know, enough to push them over the edge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Then there were stories that they even came and talked to the leaders of the Soviet Union. He couldn't confirm that, but that was the rumors that he was hearing as a Russian colonel.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I found is that most people know very little about the subject. Consequently, it's very easy to say, oh, they don't exist and so on because they just can't be here because of the distance involved.
That's a very important point, and it's sad because we are locked in a paradigm of thought and science that says, oh, too much distance, too far away, too long. There are things that we don't even dream of that are existing and existent in the universe and the solar system. We don't know it all. We just don't know. There are people, if the parallel secret space program is true and Solar Warden is true, we've been all over the solar system already with advanced technology. So that's a big story, and that's part of the fun of talking to Bill Tompkins.
Well, if you think about it, we're kind of on the outer edge of the solar...
The galaxy.
Galaxy, in our solar system. And as you go towards the center, allegedly the planets are much older than ours. And consequently, if a civilization started on a planet, you know, in the inner part of the galaxy, it's much older. It might be a million years older. It might be, you know, 10,000 years or whatever. But if you think about it, in 1903, the Wright brothers first flew. You know, before that, man essentially didn't get off the ground except maybe in balloons.
Right, right.
And here, a little over 100 years years later, you know, we're passing Pluto, and you know, the point is that we're out in space, and our, you know, ISS, etc., gone to the moon. Any case, it didn't take very long for us to go from, you might say, a few miles an hour to thousands of miles an hour, you know, 25,000 plus. Well, if you add on that, where are we going to be in another 100 years? Or, like you say, if solar warden is true, we've already visiting other planets outside this solar system. And I've talked to people who claim that they've been to other planets. And they even have sent me drawings that they made. How true it is, I don't know, but this one fellow runs a company, and he claims he was taken to another planet. And most of the buildings were more or less in triangle shape. And the reason they were in that shape was that they were very effective against meteorites.
Huh. Interesting. They bounce off.
Yeah, that they were made, you know, very strong, and also it was kind of a glancing blow. And a lot of the cities and so on were actually underground, but what was up above the ground that you could see was in these shapes that would be help protect from satellite.
Well, it would help with wind too, if there was ever any wind. But yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting.
He said he went there, and almost immediately after he landed, he got very sick, and ended up in the hospital. Spent like 4 days in the hospital, and they brought him back because he couldn't acclimatize to the atmosphere and gravity and all these things together. Now, in any case, it sounded like a fairly honest story. Now, whether it's true or not, I can't say. The aliens look pretty much like us. Mostly blue eyes, attractive. But he said most of them had dark hair, as opposed to the you know, the blonde Nordics.
You prefer the blondes, I know.
Right. Well, I ended up marrying one. send you my wife's picture sometime. Well, she used to be a model. So.
Well, send me a picture. I'd like to
most
see it.
Like
that's it. Nice. That's nice. How long have you been married?
Well, 50 years.
Wow. Congratulations, George. They don't do that anymore. They change wives and husbands like we change trousers.
And
a different pair of pants.
Three.
Yeah, well, I never get it right, but at least I've tried. Okay, we're running late. I don't know what happened to our out music, but I didn't hear any, so I'll have to say goodnight at this point. Thank you, and I will we'll talk later in the month, maybe a week or two, when I can get Bill back on, and we'll continue our remarkable programs with him. Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
All righty, take care. Major George Filer, if you'd like a free subscription to Filer's Files, just write to George at Major Star, MajorStar, at Verizon.net, and he'll send them to you once a week, and they are really, really well done. Enjoy, and we'll be right back with Hour 2.